This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Leap of Space. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. In space, your colleagues become your roommates. You're living and working on top of each other, and your bosses back on Earth are issuing commands from mission control. Max Green takes us to a time when tensions boiled over.
It's 1973.
T-minus 9, 8, 7.
Three astronauts are about to rocket to nearly 300 miles above the surface of the Earth.
We have a liftoff.
The Skylab 4 astronauts had trained for several years, but mission captain Jerry Carr says the trouble started right then on takeoff.
A lot of guys had described that ride as like riding on a train with square wheels.
Jerry's 84 now and lives in Vermont. He says, sure, they were expecting a bumpy ride, but it was so bad that Bill Pogue, an experienced demonstration pilot whose nickname ironically was Iron Belly, threw up.
We looked at him and said, good Lord, this guy is a former Thunderbird. He could do acrobatics in an airplane that would make the rest of us sick.
At the time, folks at Johnson Space Center in Houston were all uptight about a new thing called
Space Motion Sickness, or SMS. Space Motion Sickness has been called the most clinically significant medical phenomenon during the first 4 days of spaceflight.
So we decided that we would just not tell anybody about it.
The crew wanted to downplay the problem because they were worried doctors on the ground would overreact and it would become a whole thing. So they decided they'd conceal the evidence, maybe even throw the sick bag out of an airlock.
And that was a dumb thing to do because we had left our intercom system running.
The jig was up. Mission control was hip to their plan.
So it put us on the defensive right off the bat.
They got on a conference call and the big boss in Houston gave them an earful. But things cooled off soon after and they settled in for their 84-day stay aboard Skylab.
A working laboratory. Man's first home in space.
The equivalent of a small bungalow out there with a beautiful view of Earth.
Life was mostly normal, except, you know, in space. There was the daily routine of scientific experiments, cleaning, making repairs. There was a lot to do, and the crew quickly fell behind. The rigorous schedule was jam-packed from 6 in the morning until about 10 at night.
And that made a pretty long working day out of it.
Eventually, they were so far behind schedule, they were giving up days off to make up for it.
We lasted on that for about 40 days or so. Then we just, we pretty much had it.
Now, what happens next depends on who you ask. Jerry, the mission captain, says the crew wasn't paying attention and missed a chance to check in with mission control during a flyover. But other takes on the situation suggest the astronauts took an intentional break, kind of like giving themselves a timeout from the stress and what felt like micromanagement.
What has been called by some people as the mutiny.
Either way, there was some unexpected silence for a while. Then both sides acknowledged there was a problem, and about halfway through the mission, they all convened to share their feelings.
That's when we had our what I call a sensitivity session in space.
They went back and forth. The Skylab program cost millions of dollars per day, and the whole world was watching. Houston didn't understand why deadlines were being missed and why the astronauts were griping about schedules. Up in space, Jerry and the others felt like they were being held to an almost impossible standard. They had no time to do basic things.
We had an antagonistic attitude there for some time, and before we got it off our chest, they got it off their chest, and then we went ahead and looked for a way to solve the problems.
So they negotiated and compromised. Mission control would be more affirming about telling the guys up there when they did a good job. The crew would have more time to work out and take showers, something they almost never got to do. And they'd plan for one uninterrupted hour to unwind before bed each night. Both sides admitted some fault. Jerry says back then, talking about your feelings in space was just kind of a new thing.
We had none of that kind of training and no exposure whatsoever to it. So we were just playing it by ear. Sometimes we didn't do too well with it either.
In the end, the Skylab 4 crew got their day off. Jerry says he spent some of that time listening to music while enjoying the view of Earth. And what music were you listening to?
There's one funny song that says, when you're hot, when you're not, you're not. It was a popular young Western-style artist, Jerry Reed.
The Skylab 4 mission alerted NASA to a kind of problem it hadn't really run into before. Astronauts living in space full-time is very different from short missions in orbit. To try to get a better picture of what it's like to be up there on the space station for months on end, NASA had astronauts keep a journal. Here are some of those diary entries.
If each activity runs 5 minutes over, you can be 30 to 60 minutes in the hole before lunch.
We are constantly aware that the ground is watching and evaluating.
No one wants to be seen as a slacker or incapable or as a complainer.
They gave me 10 minutes to work a procedure that required me to find a specific calibration bag. That alone consumed the 10 minutes.
Wish I had more to say, but after 52 days in space, life is 100% routine. If I went home tomorrow, I wouldn't be bummed.
Not much to write in the journal, since the days are the same as they have been for the last 4 months.
With the long work days, I've lost track of time. I have trouble recalling if I called my wife today or yesterday.
Sunday is meant to be a day of rest, but somehow Houston managed to make it feel like Monday.
Those were real journal entries from astronauts on board the International Space Station in the 2000s, with help from voice actors. And NASA has used those insights to try to prevent communication breakdowns. So I called the man whose job it is to better understand astronauts' thoughts and feelings.
Al Holland.
He's a NASA senior psychologist at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. Al says accounting for our basic nature is key for successful missions beyond Earth orbit.
Clearly, we are humans wherever we are, whether we go out into space or we're on Mars or on the moon or we're next door.
And because the next place we want to go,
Mars,
is so far away, human training and prep is more important than ever.
It's going to be a radically different way of doing business.
It'll be the longest duration space flight we've done so far, more than a year to get there and back, plus time spent on the surface. And once you're there, you're tens of millions of miles from Earth. Messages will take about 20 minutes round trip. Al calls this communications delay comm lag.
That's going to lead, I think, to not only more pressure on the crew to be independent and to work independently, but there's going to be no opportunity for, you know, just natural conversation or for real-time video conferencing with your family.
And that comm lag will be the first time in the history of space travel that astronauts and home can't be in touch instantly, which can lead to disconnectedness with family and tension and conflict on the job, kind of like what happened in 1973.
There'll be a lot more strain on the understanding between the different camps. Because, you know, when you have less information, you have more room for speculation and misinterpretation, and that is a risk of a we-they dynamic beginning to increase.
Experts are working on some high-tech solutions to reduce comm lag using radios and lasers, but the reality of that delay isn't going away. So Al says NASA's focusing on training, preparing future space travelers for long-duration stays in isolation, problem-solving, and keeping cool. He says members of the first group to go to Mars may already be among a pool of selected astronauts. On top of planning for their first steps on the red planet, they'll also be working on their people skills. For The Pulse, I'm Max Green.